Joe will be here, and then I'll be back to finish this part of Strongholds. I got 14 pages, so there's no way I can get to it in one visit, or one Sunday school, maybe three times. We'll see how it goes. I like to, you know, a lot of times that I am, I want to get things done. That's my personality, but you got to be able to comprehend some things, you know. So, but the concepts or the principles talk about human nature and principles and everything is found in this King James Bible. It's amazing when you look at it how it never gets old. You find simple, profound principles. A lot of times they're in the Old Testament in illustration. We bring it to the New. It fits like a glove. So just to kind of give you a recap of where we were last week. Let's see where we were at last week. Yes, we finished up last week with the principle of Jonah. Remember that? I mean, when I spoke, Jonah, an important principle there. These principles, you can literally put them in your Bible, and not only are for you, but you can help minister to others. Aren't we utmost and foremost in the ministry business? Jesus Christ is in the reconciliation business, but we have to help people minister, and this is a great principle. Kind of tell you what happened here, just that if we close in Jonah, remember we had the 120,000 people on the right hand from the left, speaking of the next generation, and that's important. I want to recap on that because I'm 65 years young, and I know some of you, their ages and everything, you know, and there's a generation after us, and we got to teach the children and grandchildren. I mean, so what it's saying here in closing is, hey, man, there's people here that are going to repent, obviously here, you know, in those estimates, but there's some people that don't know the left hand from the right, and then he mentioned what, the cattle. That's a picture of what they're going to worship. You know, if we don't get a hold of these folks, the devil will. You get that? I mean, it's really that simple. Either. I mean, we're going to get a hold of them. God's going to get a hold of them. We're going to try to do that, or the devil is. So you got to look at the second generation. A lot of times, it's all about me, ourself, our family. But we have to look to the next generation. So that's a principle I want to make sure you understand. Real important. You know. Now, so this week and 2 weeks, I want to talk about strongholds. You know, what's interesting about this subject here is anyone been around for a while, we've all gone through some strongholds, or people go through it. And I want to show you what the Bible says about it, how to overcome it, how we help minister to folks on strongholds. There are three kinds of strongholds out there. Two are bad and one good. The garden variety I'm going to cover here, which basically people have all kinds of troubles, you know, caught up with alcohol, drugs, pornography, gambling, other things. And a lot of times, unfortunately, believers have some of those problems. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is, you know. I mean, look at those things in Galatians and Corinthians. Don't speak of the believers have those things. So it's unfortunately the church sometimes has the same problem as the world. And so you minister them differently, but you got to look at the principle, what God says about it, and then apply it to get over it. It's easier for the believer, but it's real important. So there's two bad ones. I'm going to cover the garden variety today. The second one is the satanic one. I'll cover that in a future study, where it's actually a dark, satanic attack of a stronghold. And I'm going to cover that probably maybe near the end of the year or next year. I got a lot of a variety of material here. A lot of it I get from Bob Alexander. I look at some of his material, and I like it, so I kind of put it together the way I have a little differently, but you know, we're going to cover that later on. And then there's a good stronghold, which I'll cover, of course. The other negative stronghold will be the satanic one, which we'll cover later. And the Old Testament contains a story that illustrates New Testament principles that from pattern models, you can look at these strongholds and you can apply them. Now, When it comes to strongholds, nobody wakes up in the morning has a problem. It's always a process. And if you look at this process, it always starts with something small, and you compound and build it, and then it becomes a stronghold in your life. That's always it. You don't wake up one morning, all of a sudden, you have this big stronghold. It's a process. You got to get that. Now, strongholds for a Christian are somewhat similar. They're compounding as well. If you look at 2 Peter 1:5-8 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." See how you build upon those things? You get that? I mean, when you get saved, you don't know a lot. I got saved at 25 years old. I was so excited about being saved, I had all zeal, no knowledge. But as you get in the Word of God, you build upon that faith. You see that? You're building a stronghold for the Lord. And the same thing happens when you're building a stronghold negative in some type of sin. I'm going to cover it, how what the Bible says about that, how to handle that. So there's a good stronghold. The believer builds upon his faith, builds upon himself. So something comes along, he understands it, knows how to handle it. Real important. So these seven things that the believer should have in their life are very important. I'm not going to go through them today. Hopefully you know these. This is a whole other lesson. I go to each one of these and build upon it. But I want to talk about what the Bible says about strongholds and how to handle them, get the concept behind it. Now, the person who's addicted or in a stronghold adds to his flesh. Get that? A Christian in a good stronghold adds to his faith. I gave you the principles there. So now, in a person, and believers too, you're gonna either add to your faith or you're gonna add to your flesh. You do one or the other. It's like that in Galatians talks about which one you add to. You know, you're kind of feeding two dogs, a black dog and a red dog, and which one you feed wins. Get that? So a stronghold you built up for the believer. I covered these seven things here. And then from a negative side, you're building into the flesh. And this comes through sometimes simple compromise, situation, wrong friends, sin. A lot of things come in and start to get you into a problem. Now, growing up, we talked about a guy named Tom. You know what Tom is, right? You know Tom from my old neighborhood? I was a 14, 15-year-old kid and unsaved. My parents, too, don't hang out with Tom. You know what I'm talking about, Tom, restaurant guy, you know? And because he was just a bad example. And I know this guy for now, 50 years. And I he's a good example for what I'm going to cover here. How to. And he always, when we go out and see him, get a fake ID. You know, drinking. Always trying. In fact, he was a guy that owned restaurants. He was, you know, owned restaurants. His parents owned restaurants. And I've watched these things, small things start out and compounded. I remember going deer hunting with them way back at a young age and went to Wisconsin and property in Wisconsin. I'm looking at the deer hunting rules in Wisconsin. I'm looking at it. We broke every single rule on that book. That's crazy. I mean, every single rule. We don't do this here. Everything we're doing, I was unsafe. I'm like, this is crazy. But that's kind of, you know, you're building a stronghold on corruption. And a matter of fact, later on in life, what happens, they get pretty serious. This guy that we're talking about, he got a gambling problem, a big problem, and he lost his restaurant, and he lost his parents' restaurant, multi-million-dollar business. He got a big bill with the mob, and they ain't stupid. They knew his parents had some big money, and so they got to the seven-figure amount that he owed. He goes, "Hey, Tom, here's a story. You don't pay us by this time, we're going to break your leg, and in 2 weeks, we're going to kill you." It wasn't, you know, the IRS on you or anything. And they're serious about it. So he went to Daddy, and Daddy had to sell and mortgage his restaurant to pay off this and literally crushed the family. Then they really never recovered from something like that there. But that's because he had a stronghold in some sin and some little kid things, and it compounded alcohol, divorce. I think just a month ago, our buddy Willie went to a wedding that he was at, and he's divorced, you know, bitter, and he's coming with a cane, and inside this cane, you open up, he had bottles of whiskey in there. So, you know, I mean, there's a stronghold here. I'm giving an example of there's 50 years fighting I'm not sure how we're going to solve this today, what the Bible says about it, you know, unsaved and saved people. So those are strongholds. It's a bad deal. It says here in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fill the lust thereof. A person who has a stronghold started out wrong and added to that life and got worse and worse. The same for a Christian. As you grow and add things to your life, something's going to control your life. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ and his word or something in the world. You get that. It's really that simple. Something is controlling you. A person who has a stronghold loses control of his life, and the world takes over. Every problem a person encounters, regardless of its level, can be tracked back to the certain form that I'm at. Something's controlling you. You get that? A Christian is going to have two or three strongholds in their life. It's either going to be God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word, or it's going to be the world, the flesh, and bad choices they make. It's that simple. I'm going to repeat that again. A believer is going to have one or two strongholds in their life. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, God, obviously, and the Word. That's controlling them. They're going to control. Or it's going to be the world and the flesh and bad choices they make. Now, obviously, the devil comes in. That's a whole other meeting. But something's controlling the believer. It's really that simple. Psalm 27:1. Psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David talks about the strength in his high tower. I'm going to get a little more into this about his high tower. It says in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And remember, I talked about the horn last time and the high tower previous times. It's real important. You got to understand that. Now, looking at the scriptures I'm going to cover about strongholds is found in 2 Samuel 5:1-10. If you want to turn down, I'm going to read those ten verses. And I'm going to show you how times the Old Testament pictures principles, and then you put them into New Testament to get the application. That's why the book is so. I got nothing here by accident. There's principles for everybody on here. So let me just read these 10 chapters, and we're going to go through this week in 2 weeks about strongholds. And 2 Samuel 5:1-10, it says, then call all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that led us out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to be the king of Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Hebron. He reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem and unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same of the city of David, and David said unto that day, whosoever giveth up to the gutter and smited the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they said, the blind and the lame shall not come unto the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built around about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. Now, let me just kind of paraphrase this and break it apart for you. The storyline is this year. Historically, the Jebusites are the enemy of God. Held the city of Jerusalem. The Jews didn't have it, and David does not have it because he's in Hebron. Get that? We know from a historical context that Israel has to have Jerusalem. You don't get that. That's their key thing, right? They will never do anything for God as long as they don't have possession of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem not the capital of the world. That, you know, the Bible focused around Jerusalem. That's the center of the Bible. So they have lost that. And Jerusalem is the key to Israel doing God's work. Principle. Jerusalem is a stronghold and needs to go to Israel so they can do God's work. Get that principle? Let's apply it to our say. The enemy of God is what? The Jebusites has a stronghold. That needs to change for Israel to do anything for God. So here is some principles here. I'm going to give them real slow in detail. Is, hey man, the enemy is in your city. And David pointed kings in Hebron. There's some stronghold here. How do you get around this? New Testament principle. Our bodies, the flesh, is kind of a type of Jerusalem. And if we have worldly, fleshly strongholds, we'll never do a great work for God. And I'm going to explain this, how important this is here. Look at Colossians 2:11. It's a great verse, great New Testament principle. A lot of people don't get this. I mean, our Bible believers do, but a lot of Christians don't get that. In whom it says, also we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That's that operation of God. You get that's a New Testament principle where God somehow supernaturally removes your soul from your body. That's how we're already seated. I mean, hey, it's the flesh that over here, and God does this to us. It's an amazing thing. That's a New Testament Pauline doctrine, and that gives us that eternal security that we have. You get that, man? That's real important, you know, understanding that. So look at Romans 8:13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Paul talks about this battle going on between his flesh and this and his spirit. The soul's already been separated. It's a constant body. And our flesh always sees the result of it. You know, your flesh ain't taking that bottle or going seeing things you shouldn't see. It's you see what I'm saying? It's a byproduct of what's happening in the mind and our attitude. I'll cover it a little bit here. So, I mean, our bodies just don't do things. Something has beforehand. Our body's just reacting to what's going on in our mind. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You see that? Hey, our body, God is living in this body, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So understand that. So, I mean, hey, our body is just a temple. God, the Holy Spirit is dwelling there. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Get it? According to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We have to give an account. Hey, what's motivated me for a long time, I covered a lot, is we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You get that? Now, that ought to be a good fear. Think about that. We'll stand and give an account. Just you and the Lord, not for our salvation. That's settled at the cross. Amen. Pray, we're sons of God. Praise the Lord. But what sins done in the body, we give an account. Amen. That's a pretty scary thought. And I go, you know, should I do that? It's a byproduct. Think about it. Amen. I want to make sure. That's going to be a, Bible calls it terror. It'll be a, and that terror, I think it's going to be terror for a lot of people. So God is There's a thing about this body here. What's happening to the body is a problem there. Israel has made a bad choice in verse 2, and they have chose Saul. Remember, they chose Saul first, and Saul represents what? The world. That was produced a stronghold in their life. See that there? So they chose Saul, says that verse 2, and they had a bad stronghold to the world. Oh, look how tall he is, how good looking he is. And God allowed that, amen, you know? But that was a stronghold, and they mentioned that in verse 2. David, what's he? He's the type of Christ. And he is used to bring Israel back to Jerusalem. Give it a stronghold. Get that? Okay. So let's go through some of these principles and go through each verses here and see how they apply to us. Wrong thinking process is what people get into the problems they have. It's stinking thinking. You get that? I mean, you get that. I mean, it's some of this is so simple, but it's profound. Rule number one is that if you are doing a get out of a problem, you can't ever get out of that problem unless you change the thinking that got you into the problem in the first place. You get that? That's so simple, it's profound. That's what's happening over here. There's a lot of stinking thinking problems and marriages and child training and addictions. And we're going to get some of these later on because I'm a big application person. Without breaking down the strongholds and changing the thinking, it will never go away. You know, I've got a computer, always has comes up and says, so-and-so died at 45 years old. I kind of, you know, they had this addiction this whole life. They struggled. See, they're always focusing, I'll show you, on the symptom, not the problem. It's an addiction their whole life. I'm going to show you how it's the thinking. If you have the right thinking about your strongholds, you'll be able to solve these problems. Now, breaking down a person's strongholds takes three things. And these are basic things that I think we know. But remember, if you're ministering to somebody that has a stronghold, what do you tell them? These are the three things you want to understand. Number one, when it comes to breaking any stronghold in a person's life, it takes three things. It's simple, profound, but yet very deep. When you start breaking down each one, the first thing is you have to identify it. You got to identify it. If you don't identify it, you're done. Most people with problems don't want to identify the problem. They want to make everything else the problem. You get that? I'll show you how it applies here in 2 Kings. Many times they want to blame someone else for the problem. People don't want to identify what their problems are because they have the wrong thinking about it. When this happens, it triggers a compounding effect. You start adding to issues because you don't identify it. Fact, 98% of problems we have is, like I always say, the person right in the mirror, right there. You get that? Now, I'm married. I blame their 2% of my wife. All you single guys out here, you can't. I have no wife to blame. I can blame 2% of my wife. Amen? So, but 98%, seriously, is right there in the mirror. You get that? Yeah, I mean, can be honest. If you understand that, man, you've kind of identified it. Hey, that's that stupid guy, knucklehead guy right there, or whatever. You got to get that. And if you get that, that's a very human thing. So you got to identify it. You got to identify the problem. I mean, it's a big deal. Okay. The second thing is, I'll show how it applies here in a minute, is that you have to not only identify it, you got to isolate it. Once you identify the problem, isolate it. They have to make this a priority that their problem is. And if we have a problem, whatever it is, you don't want to prioritize it. Not going to go away. No matter what the stronghold is that we have to isolate it, identify and isolate it. Once isolate it, that means you have to take responsibility for it. I'll show you how this applies in Scripture. Taking responsibility, that's a tough thing. Because you know what, that's kind of a humble thing. Yeah, I messed up, man. I got this problem. Whatever it is. Hey, I'm going to show you how to apply our principle. Hey, man, that's taking responsibility is a tough thing today because we're fighting against that pride we all have. Amen? You know, if I say this, it's a pride thing, you know? They need to realize that it is their problem, they quit blaming everyone else for the problems. It's always somebody else, right? Blame somebody else. It's their problem, take responsibility. The third thing they have to do, I'll show you some scripture, they got annihilated. Yeah, you got to acknowledge it, identify it, and you got to annihilate it. In other words, you have to get them, honestly, into the scripture. You got to get them, because their answer is all right here. You know, the world tells you, go to some program or event, and it may help for a while, but they're always got that thing going on. I got to, you know, they're in this AA program or something, and it always, they never get free of it. Because they can't, because the scriptures is the answer to it all. I'll get to a little bit here. You got to get into the scripture. And sometimes it takes support. You know, a lot of times if it's a big deep problem, you get a scripture, and sometimes brethren will help you out. Over the years, I've had brethren, and they had problems with, like, pornography. I'll be honest, you know. And they're calling me up, Tim, can I call you if I have a problem? What am I going to tell them on the phone? I hate them calling me. I'm just telling you, okay, brother. And when the phone rang, I go, I hope you're not calling me about this. Because, you know, it's kind of a tough thing. I'm just telling you straight. I go, oh, man. But they want someone to call, hey, I'm having a problem. Can you pray with me? Help me out. At least they recognize they have a problem. And sometimes they need their help. And my wife has no idea what's going on. A lot of times, if I'm in a legal business. Many things are going to go to my grave. Me and the Lord knows, and that's it. I mean, I can't tell you the problem people have. I don't know why they always pick me on. You know, I got my own problems, you know, but they're calling me with all kinds of things. And, you know, sometimes, hey, help the brother out. I'm glad they're reaching out for the Word of God and someone that can maybe, you know, talk them through it. Hey, man, I'll do that, whatever, you know, so forth. But sometimes you got to get some help. And that's okay. That's why we have a local church, which we'll get to in a minute. All these three things stem from thinking patterns. You've got to get the right mindset on it. Welcome to Christian life. Called ministry, amen. Amen. It's not easy. The pastors, man, I can imagine all the stuff to call them and all that. Honestly, God bless them. I'm not called to be a pastor. I guarantee it. You know, I'm more evangelistic kind of guy, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is what Paul talks about when he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The warfare of the believer. This is why you got to build a stronghold into your life. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. See, it's the mind. You have to be absorbed in the Word of God. And you, this is Colossians 1:20-1:22, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now had to be reconciled, what? In the body. You see what happens? It comes out the body. You get that? You get that? Of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. You know what the context is? Sergeant Peter Christ. Get that? Man. Hey, believer. We have to give an account. So think about that, all those things. And, you know, you should be unconscious about that. I mean, you should be a incompetent conscious about that type of fact like that there. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's the mind. Now, I'm saying all that to get to the first of six steps about strongholds based on this 10 verses I read here. I want to build a little foundation so I said it all kind of ties together, comes back to the Word of God, and it's right there in plain sight. Number one, first step, a person must understand they're in a battle. You get that? This is a battle. And 2 Samuel 5:1-10, it says, I want to show you the six things a person must take, understand, escape stronghold. And strongholds, anything that controls your life. Ain't that a battle? Get that. We're battling flesh and blood, principalities, powers. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. It can be anger, jealousy, gluttony, greed. There's a lot of things that we can deal with. Amen? It doesn't have to be something like drinking and all those things. It's whatever is in your life that controls you outside of God. Get that? It's a battle. I mean, it's a battle. I want you to see this battle all down through here, that we always fight what? The sword. With the principle, it's all right. Right here's the sword, the word of God. You get that? It's always, and hey, the believers understand that. That's why it's so important to believe you got the perfect word of God. That's why it's such an important fact. You know why? If you're a Christian and don't believe the word of God, you're not going to the word of God. You don't quite believe it. That's how it's so important it is for Bible believers to know that this is the words of God, as powerful, as quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing a soul asunder, joint marrow, and discerning of thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen? That's why it's so, to get this thing, I mean, it's a powerful tool. And I told you the Solomon principle way back then. Bring me the sword. Remember the two ladies coming in there? Bring me the, obviously the physical sword back then, but what do we have today? The spiritual sword, amen? You can get that, right? You know? You understand that, right? Amen? Okay? So, got to get that. Real important. Now, I want to show you this battle fought. The first one that I want to give to you is understanding the battle to overthrow the threshold. And number one, David leads the battle here. What's David? Picture of the Lord, of Christ, right? So it's he leads the battle with the word. See, David led the battle then, type of Christ. And we lead the battle. Jesus Christ leads the battle with the word of God. That's the foundation. Hey, I'm going to battle. How am I going to battle? What am I going to do? It's the word of God and Jesus Christ. That's it's not a system or something else. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the word of God. That's what will permanently get you through that problem. Okay, get that? It says here, and the king, verse 6 here of read Samuel here, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem into the Jezebites, the inhabitants of the land, which spoke unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt come in hither, thinking David cannot come up hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the name of his city was David. So there you are. He's taking charge. They're kind of sarcastic about what he's going to do, but he's taking charge, and he's taking the charge. The problem with most people in strongholds, they usually or are not disciplined or structured or unstructured, and they don't see the truth. You have to kind of point people out to this truth, that they're in a battle, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. You know, when you want to go through a stronghold, you're going to identify it, isolate, and annihilate. Remember the rules, but it has to be God's way. Everyone, I don't want to do that, because they want to do it some other way. They hate bringing God into the equation. You get that? You understand that? To get out of a bad situation, people keep continuing going, doing the same thing over and over again. Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again. And you know, why are you in this problem still? I mean, duh, that's insanity. They're doing it over and over again. Well, that is what's going to get him into the problem in the first place. Same thing over and over again, and expecting different results. This is where you go back to changing the thinking patterns. They must make those three things in your life dominant. And what three things are you going to make? I'm not going to cover them now, because I'm out of time. But I'm going to show you three things. Number one, that they have to make prominent, and I'll pick it up. I really got a lot to cover. Maybe a three lesson, but I'm going to show you the three things you have to pick up. Guaranteed will help you with the mindset. And you probably go, well, that's simple, but the Bible really is simple in a lot of areas for simple things. You understand that? Sometimes it's like, well, that's profound. The Bible is simple. It really is. So we're going to stop there, because I don't want to get into these in a little time we have people coming in for church. So we'll cover this. Not next week. I'll be out of town. Pray for me. I'm going fishing. Sorry, guys. I can do that. I got liberty to do that. Amen. But anyways, but I'll be back the following week, Lord willing, and we'll pick it up here. And it's a good study on strongholds. I'm telling you, this will help. I'm trying to help you. And then a lot of times you went, I've done that in my life. I didn't realize that they were Bible principles. And that's something like, wow, I've done these things, and they were Bible all along. Wow. In fact, you just kind of did it naturally. And that's an amazing thing, how it works. Boy, that's what I've been doing, and it's a biblical principle. That's why it works. A lot of unsaved people do things that are biblical, and it works. I mean, because, sometimes it's a natural thing. I mean, my Father in heaven. We're looking forward to the stronghold study. And we all have problems, or people have problems. And what do we say? What do we do? Hey, it's good to be able to pick up the book, understand the concept, the principle, to study human natures and apply it, and then to show them. And the Lord does the rest. We can only just show them the truth from your word, see why they have this problem, this stronghold, try to help them break it, and then we have to do the rest. And they have got to do their part, Father. And you know what that is, Father. Recognizing and annihilating and isolating it. Father, we love you and thank you for this time. I pray for Pastor Hoffman as he comes and give him liberty and grace and mercy. And we'll look forward to hearing what he has to say from your word. And thank you for the fellowship of the saints that we have this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stop right here.